Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Kuf Dalet. Begin on the bottom line of Kuf Gimel Mabez, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, in which we had a statement from Yehuda in the Mishnah that said, although generally the Asa Achas, if you're coming to write a word, let's say Shimon or Shmuel, you're only liable if you write the entire thing you wanted to write. However, here it's V'asa Me'achas. Here where inevitably you ended up writing a name that is a name elsewhere. Shem is a name. Shem Cham and Yafis from the children of Noach. Therefore, although you intended to write a larger name, you're going to be liable for writing even just the Shin and Mem. To which the Gemara asked, how can you compare the two? When you come to write Shmuel or Shimon, the Shin and then the Mem is an open Mem. And that is because it's in the middle of the word. Whereas Shem has to be written with a closed Mem. And here it's being written open. And therefore, as the Gemara proved from a brisa, that we find the brisa, if you want to write open, closed, or closed, open, a mem that's supposed to be open as closed is not going to be kosher. So how over here do we say that you're going to be liable for writing shin and mem? Because it's a name elsewhere, but it's not a name elsewhere. An open mem is nothing. If you're writing the name, it has to be with a closed mem. To which the Gemara answered that we find Tanoik support for Rabbi Huda's opinion elsewhere, where we had from Rabbi Huda ben Beseir that said the allusion to what's called Nisach HaMayim by Sukkos, is that they would pour the water, and that would be the whole Simchas Beis Sheva, that they would celebrate, and they would be pouring libations of water, although the whole year they would pour wine, only during Sukkot they would pour water. Where's the source for this halacha? It's not brought in the Torah. It's alluded to with the extra letters when it's talking about the Karbanos, specifically the Nesachim of the Karbanos of Sukkot. It has an extra mem, then a yud in a different word, an extra mem in a different word. Now, the first mem of the word Mayim is an open letter mem. As mem, yud, and the mem. The end, the last mem has to be closed. The first mem is open. Now, its allusion in the Torah is with a closed mem, as it's v'niskehem. That's a closed mem. And yet, we're alluding to it as an open mem. So therefore, the Gemara says, just like we find, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir says, that something that's supposed to be open, because the word mayim is supposed to be, the first letter has to be open, is alluded to in a closed mem. So therefore, the same thing would apply when you're supposed to have something with a closed mem, which in this case would be the word shame. Yet, if you write it open, it's also going to be kosher. That was the Tanoik support for this statement, to say that it doesn't make a difference if it's open or closed, they're interchangeable. To which the Gemara, our current daf, begins on asking on that point. Me dummy? Is it comparable? Who said that from the fact that when you're supposed to write an open mem, that it's written closed, that we find in the Torah that the first letter mem from the word mayim is alluded to in the closed one, that that's okay, to say that the same is going to apply, that if it's supposed to be closed and yet it's written open, that that's good. Maybe it's not true, maybe it's not comparable. Me dummy? Pasuach v'asay sasim, because if you have an open mem that's supposed to be, like the word mayim, and you make a close, and we continue at the top of Kavdal Manal, iluya kum alile, you have elevated the status of that letter, and that is because, as the Gemara is going to show, that the mem that was in the luchas, in the Aseres Adibris, by the two luchas that Moshe Rabbeinu came down with, they were a closed mem. As the Gemara says, Damar Abchizda, mem v'samach shabaluchas, b'nes hoyimdim, that the mem and the samach that were written in luchas were standing miraculously over there in the luchas. That's because, as the Gemara is going to show later on, and that they were seen from either side. Now that means it had to have been carved through all the way through. Now a mem is a square, and the only way that it's not just one open block is because there's a line in between. The middle block is still there, so you see the outside box. Now that square, how did it stay? If it's carved out all the way, it should have fell through. That's the miracle. Same thing for the Samach, that it didn't, and it was able to be seen from both sides. That is a miracle. Now we see that the ones that were written in the Luchas, they were the closed ones, because only the closed mem is the one that has to be a miracle, because an open mem, it's still connected somewhat, even if it's totally carved out on either side, to the actual stone that it's chiseled out from. And elasasim va'asay pes pesuach guru kumagarli. However, so therefore we understand now, if you had to write a closed mem and you wrote an open mem, like the word mayim in the Torah, that's not a problem, because it elevated the status, so of course it's going to be good, because we find that this was on the luchas itself, the closed one. However, but if you elasasim va'asay pesuach, but if you had one that was supposed to be closed, like the word shame from the word Shmuel or Shimon, and you made it open, which is how you did it over here when you wanted to write a larger name, Gurui Kumagara'ele, you're downgrading that letter. The Amr Rabbi Yirmiyah v'Yitemre, and some say Rabbi Chiyah b'Abba, that Menatzvich, Tzayifam Amrim, that the letters Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Fei, Endochav, which are read as Menatzvich, the Tzayifam, which is a reference to the Nevi'im, which is a word of looking, which is the same thing what the Nevi'im are, Chazoyin, and they are the ones that said this, and that is, the open mem wasn't in the luchas, as the Gemara says, because the one that was standing in the miracle, obviously that it was a closed mem. Now, Menatzvach, the mem nun tzadifei chav, it says that the Nevi'im said that. And now, since Rav Chizda says that the Mem and the Samach and the Luchas were obviously standing in the miracle, you can't say that it's talking about an open one. It has to have been by a closed one, as we explained. Now, that's because, as the Gemara is going to later say, that it was able to be seen, it was visible from either side, from the inside and the outside. So should it fell, so obviously it was a miracle. Now, the open ones wouldn't be a miracle. So when Rabbi Yirmiyah says that Menatzvich, that the letters Mem, Nun, Tzadifei, Endochav, that the Tzayfim Amrim, that the Nevi'im, so to speak, made up these letters, obviously those letters were in reference to the Mem Pesuach, right? Mem is one of those Menatzvich. Now, you can't say that those were the ones that it wasn't there before, because we find that they were in the Luchas. And obviously that which is the open, which is the closed, that the closed ones were in the Luchas, because that's the only one that would apply a miracle, and the ones that were made up later were the open ones. Now, so therefore, the Gemara's question is, now, if the closed ones were the Chashav ones, they were the ones on the Luchas, and the open ones were only made up later by the Nevi'im, now, how can you prove from the fact that the Torah uses the word Mayim, which is supposed to be an open one, with a closed one, where there it elevated its status, so then yes, of course it would work. Who said that the same thing would work in reverse? That when you're supposed to write a closed one, like the word Shem, and you made it open, that would work. That's not true. That downgraded it. Maybe there wouldn't be a good letter for the word Shem. So how can you prove Tanoik support that writing just Shem and Mem would be considered a kosher writing to make it liable, even though you didn't complete the word? But the Gemara responds on this question. B'tizbra, do you really think that Menatzvich, these letters are Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Fei, Chav, meaning the Sofit, the ender letters of all these things that the Navi made it up? But it says a pasuk in the Torah, Eilah HaMitzvah, these are the commandments, which the Messiah is, She'en HaNavi Rishroi L'chadish Dovim Yata. No prophet is ever allowed to make up something that wasn't here on Sinai. These are the mitzvahs, that's it, nothing more. How could they have made up letters in the Aleph Beis? Rather, of course, they existed, both of them, the Pesuach and the surface, the open and the closed, the beginning and the end. However, the only thing was that they didn't know which one was in the middle of the word and which one came at the end of the word. And then, that's what the Nevi'im came later on. They were instituted. They said which one goes in the beginning, in the middle, and which one goes at the end. And therefore, they are on equal par. They were both there at the time the Torah was given. And therefore, that is like Rav Chizda, that supports this idea that there is no difference about mixing them up. And it is the same opinion that you can have if you mix up the open with the close or the close with the open, they're both going to be kosher, and they're going to be liable when you write shame, even though you're writing it open and supposed to be closed, you're going to be chayiv. However, the Gemara does ask, but Vakati Eila Mitzvah, still it says, these are the commandments, She'en HaNavi Rishroi L'chadish Davei Me'ata, that a prophet is never allowed to make anything new that wasn't in Yiddishkeit before. So how can you say that they didn't know, and then they instituted and say, okay, you know what, this will be the middle and this will be the end. This is something that was never said. You can't create a new identity. Let it be however it was. So David the Gemara says, Elishakhum L'chazriyas. Rather, the idea is that they knew. It's something they forgot over time, and then they reinstituted. Therefore, that they're allowed to do. They're just allowed to remind the people how it was supposed to be. And therefore, that's not a question. And again, as we said, that according to this opinion, they were equal, on equal par. They were always there. And that's why it's not a challenge to this opinion to say that the Luchas only had clothes and the later only by the Nevi'im they instituted, although in the actual Luchas were the closed ones, but it was still there. The open ones were at the time. It wasn't created at a later time with Nevi'im, and therefore they're on equal par, and it doesn't make a difference if you're going to write open for closed or closed for open. That's why you're liable if you write shame, even though it's an open mem. The Gemara goes back to the statement we said before, Gufa. That the Mem and the Samach in the Luchas were miraculously standing there and they didn't fall down. As the Gemara elaborates, that the writings on the tablets were able to be read from the front and were able to be read from the back. That is, the letters were backwards and the words were backwards. And what he's coming to teach us is that the carving out was throughout the Luach. And therefore, and that's why you're able to read it on the other side. It wasn't just carved out on one side. And that is why the Mem and the Samach were miraculously standing, because if it would have been carved out from one side and not read from the other side, it wouldn't be a miracle, because you still have the back holding it on. That's the two statements go together, as the Gemara says, Kagain, Nevuv, Vaivan. It was read backwards But not only that the letters were backwards, front and back, but even the words were backwards. That is, when you had the word Nevov, it was read backwards, Baivan, or Rahav was read Bahar, or Sar was read Veris, to which Rashi says that these words weren't actually in the Luchis. He's just grabbing words to explain the concept that whatever word was there was read, not only was the letter seen backwards, but even the word was read backwards, and that was what was seen on the back, and that's, again, why it had to have been a miracle that the middle part of the, and the Mem Sofit, and the Samach, were standing there in a miracle. Now the Gemara continues. Once we speak about the letters of the Torah, the Gemara goes through a lengthy Gemara, which talks about the letters per se and the combinations of the letters, the unbelievable chachma that lies in the actual Aleph Beis itself. And as we know that regarding everything that we learn in the depth of the Torah, we start with the Aleph Beis, but and then it goes deeper and deeper, then you come back to the sources and all the wisdom lies in the actual letters of the Aleph Beis. So Amar Le Rabban Yeshua ben Levi, the Rabban said to Rabban Yeshua ben Levi, Asu darti ki ha'idnu lebei medrasha. There was these young students that came now to the Beis Medrash. Va'amru mili da'afilu b'mei Yeshua ben Nun lo idme kavasai. And they said certain things that unbelievable, even the days of Yeshua ben Nun wasn't said, these types of deep concepts that they said. And they said as follows. Aleph Beis. What does it mean, Aleph Beis? Aleph Bina means to learn insight, which means say learn Torah. That's what the first two letters of the Aleph Beis are saying. Gimel Dalas comes to teach you Gimel Dalim. You should aid the needy. So it just taught us Talmud Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, two of the main pillars of the world. Now, my time of Pshuta carried the Gimel Agabe Dalas. Why is it that the foot of the Gimel is extended toward the Dalad and not backwards towards the base where it came from? And the reason is, Kin Darka Shel Gimel Chasadim Loretz Achadalim. Because the nature is that those who are by nature that they give aid to the needy, that they run after the needy. That's why the Gimel, which is the reference of the Gemoyel, that you should aid, those who aid are constantly running after the needy. They want to help them. My time of Pshuta Kari the Dalad Lagabi Gimel. And why is it that the leg of the Dalad is slanting towards the Gimel and not towards the hay? And rather, as if anyone sees in the Sefer Torah, as the Dalad is really written, the Dalad, the foot of it is arched towards the Gimel. Why is that? Why is his leg, so to speak, faced towards the Gimel? Delimtzi leinafshei, that he should make himself available. That is in reference that the poor person should make himself available to the one who's trying to help him, and he shouldn't make it difficult, challenging for the homeowner to have to run after him. He should make himself available. But why is the face of the Dalad, the opening, turned away from the Gimel? That is, the Dalad, his back, so to speak, is facing towards the Gimel, but he's open towards the hay. Deleten libitzin, so that the one who's giving it to him should give it to him in hiding, in secrecy, in modesty, so that the Dalad, the Dal, the poor person, should not be embarrassed from the Gimel, from the one that's giving to him, and that's why his face is turned around the other way. Hey Vav, now we go into the next letters. Zesh Shemoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the letters Hey Vav are the names, is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we say in Hoshanis, Ani Vahoy Hoshiyana Vahoy is Vav Hey Vav. The Hey and Vav is Hashem's name. Now, what is about what Hashem's name? Zach, Zayin Ches, Tes, Yud, Chof Lamed. That's where it continues to the next letters of the Aleph Beis. That is, Vim Ata Oisikin. And if you do Talmud Torah and Gimel Chasadim, which is Aleph and Beis, and Gimel and Dalad, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Hey Vav, he's Zana Yisrael, he'll sustain you, that's the Zayin. V'chana Yisrael, he'll favor you, that's the Ches. U'meitav Lachin, he'll benefit for you, that's the Tes. V'noisen Lach Yerushan, he'll give you inheritance, that's the Yud. V'koish Lucha Keser, and he'll bind for you a crown, that's the Chav. Lo'oylam Ha'aba, that's the Lamed to the world to come. And that's the Lamed of Lo'oylam Ha'aba, because that's Kol Yisrael M'yesh L'mechek Lo'oylam Ha'aba. We're constantly creating our Lamed, that's the Lamed. Lo'oylam Ha'aba, it's always in reference of the Lamed. So that's the first parts of the Aleph Beis. Then it continues. Mem Pesucha, Mem Stuma. You have an open Mem, which is in the beginning part of a word. And Mem Stuma, a closed Mem, which comes to teach you. Mem Pesuch, Mem Sasim. There are statements that should be open and statements that should be closed. That is, there are certain things I gave you permission to expound upon them, and some things which you have to keep closed, like Maisa Merkava, the awesome prophecies of the chariots, which are visions that are not meant for simple people to be learning. Those should be closed. That should not be taught to other people. Nun kafufa, nun pshuta. You have a curved nun, which is a nun that's in the beginning part of a word, and you have a bent, you have a straight nun, which is at the end of a word, which comes to teach you neman kafuf, neman pashut. You have the faithful person that's bent over, and you have the faithful person that's erect, which is a righteous person. He has to be humble, bent over, And ultimately, he's going to be straight, standing upright in the world to come. That's why the nun is first bent, and at the end of the word is when it's erect, when it's straight up. Samach ayin, which comes to teach you, the next letters are simoichanim, support the poor, or lashon acha. Another version is simonim asabat Torah. You should make mnemonics for the Torah. That is, you should organize your learning either from the different tanoim or the amayroim, and you're learning that you shouldn't forget which one was, like the Gemara constantly does that. It brings mnemonics, says simon. Those are ways of remembering your Torah, and thereby you're acquiring the Torah. And these two allusions are both for the Aleph Beis, which is to learn the Torah, or the Gimel Dal, to support the poor people. That's referenced here again with the Samach Ayin, either with the poor or with Torah. Then it continues, Pei Chfufa, Pei Pshuta. Then you have the curved Pei, and you have the straight Pei. That is Pei Pesuach, Pei Sasim. That is to have an open mouth or a closed mouth. That is, when should you have an open mouth that you should be speaking? That's at the time when people are gathering in, then you should be spreading out. As the Gemara in Brachas and Samach Gimel says that terminology, B'shas Mechadens and Pizer, when they're gathering in, when no one's teaching to the masses, then you go out, you open up your mouth. And Pesasim, a closed mouth, is that at the time of Mephazim, when there's so much out there, then you gather in. If there's someone greater from you, then the sign of Kiddush Hashem is also to be anibus. They cannot go out and start talking. There's enough people talking, you can keep your Torah to yourself. Then it continues, Tzadi Chavufa v'Tzadi Pshuta, that there is the curved Tzadi, and then there's the straight Tzadi, which is at the end of the word, which teaches you Tzadi Kaf of Tzadi Pasha, the righteous person that's bent over, and the righteous person that's erect, which the Gemara asks, what do you mean? That's the same thing. Hainu nem and kaf of nema parsha. Same thing we said about the faithful, the nun, to be bent over, and then ultimately will be erect. So the Gemara says, you're right, but hoisiv l'cha akas of kfifa kfifase. The Torah is teaching you that you should double over on being bent over, which teaches you, mekansha notna ha-Torah b'monoi drash. It comes to teach you that the Torah was given with the trembling of the head, as it says in the pasuk, b'riasis or b'zeyah. In other words, you have to have an extra measure of humility. That's why it speaks about the doubling over of being humble, and that in the next world, then you'll be erect. Then the next letter is kuf, which reference to Kaddish, to the Holy One Hashem. And reish is a reference to Russia, to the Russia, which is, what's the connection? My time in Mahadir api the kuf mi reish. Why is the face of the kuf turned away from the reish, which is a nice way of saying it, but really what it's saying is, why is the back of the reish turned away from the kuf? It's open to the other side, to the shin, not open to the kuf. I can't look at the face of the Russia, as there's an Isser to actually do that, and Hashem keeps it there. I can't look at the Russia, so therefore he turns the face of the Russia away, turning to the other direction, saying, I can't look at him. However, my time in Mahadra tagged the kuf, like, but why is it that the crown of the kuf, which are these type of like a small little zions that you make on the top of the kuf, that it's facing towards the reish? Why is it turning towards the reish? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Chayzer Boy, Ani Koshel LeKesek HaMeisi. However, if he does tshuva, he returns, he turns towards me, and then I will bind on him a crown like me, and that's why he's showing it to him. He's like pushing his crown towards the reish, saying, take it, please. I want you to come back. I want you to get the crown. Why is it that the leg of the kuf is suspended, that it's not attached to the roof of the kuf? And the reason is the hadr bay li ayil. The reason is that if he'll turn around, if the reish will come back and do tshuva, that it can enter there all the way there on the top. He'll be straight onto the top of the kuf already, right to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the Kaddish. But then the Gemara asks, why do you need that opening over there? Let him come the other way around. Let him circle around the bottom of the leg of the kuf and come in through the bottom on the right side. Why do you have to make a special opening of the kuf that really is supposed to be attached, and you made an opening that it come in there on the top? And that the Gemara says, yes. That supports the statement of Rish Lakish. The Rish Lakish, that Rish Lakish said, what is the understanding of the pasuk in Mishlei that says, im lelaitzim hu yolitz, that if regarding cynics, he'll act cynically, but for the humble people, he will grant favor, which teaches the following lesson. If a person comes to defile himself, then they open up doors for him, they allow him to go and do whatever he wants to. If he wants to scoff, he wants to be a cynic, go ahead. But if he comes to purify himself, then they support him, and they create a new opening for him. And as we find by the kuf, we're creating something more than it was supposed to be. Like Rabbeinu Yonah starts Shari Tshuva, really opening up a cave right under the Kisei HaKavod. And that's the understanding of the pasuk, that imolatzim hu yolitz, that it's a reference to the Letz himself. He's going to be yolitz from himself. No one's going to help him, but no one's going to stop him. Do what you like. But regarding vim la'anovim, If a person is following a good path, then yitein chen. Then they will support him from Shemayim. They will give him, not just allow him, but actually support him. And that's why we create this new opening on the top of the kuf to show this lesson that, yeah, you could have gone on the bottom, which means we're not stopping, but we're not helping. No, rather, if you're coming to do tshuva, we're going to create a new opening in the kuf, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Kadosh. Next letter is shin, which is a reference to sheker, falsehood, and tough. Is the opposite. The last letter is emes, which the last letter of the word emes is tough. So the Gemara asks, regarding these two letters of shin and tough, of emes and sheker, my time is sheker mekarvin mili. Why is it that the letters of sheker are close nearby each other? That is, it's really like the order of the aleph beis of kuf, resh, shin. They're right there creating the word sheker. But emes merachkin mili, but the word emes, their letters are couldn't have been further apart. The aleph is in the beginning of the aleph beis, the mem is in the middle, and the sub is at the end. Comes to teach you the lesson, the shikr shchiach, kush delo shchiach. Falsehood is common. That's why it's carved. They're close to each other. It's something that's common. But the emes, the truth, is not so common. And therefore, that's why he's saying it's far apart. It's hard to come by. My time is shikra achodekari kar. But why is it that the letters of sheker, they all stand on one leg? Every one of those letters of shin comes to a point, kuf has only one point, and resh has one point. They stand on one leg. The emes milabin levuni, but the words, the letters of emes, they are set like bricks. And that is, they all have either a bottom or 2 feet, like the letter aleph has one side and the other side, and it has the left one is a very broad foot, and mem has a bottom, and saf has 2 strong legs. So why is it that sheker has one leg and emes has a good foundation? And the reason is because kush dekoy, shikur lekoy. The truth stands, but falsehood doesn't stand, as the famous phrase from the Tikkuni Zayar that says, sheker ein le reglayim. Falsehood has no legs. And that's the idea. It only has one leg, doesn't have legs. It doesn't stand well. Imagine a person on 1 foot. It can't stand for that long. It could stand, and therefore sheker could be deceptive, and you could try it, but ultimately it's going to be shown of that it's false, and it won't last. Now, the Gemara continues. We spoke about the wisdom of the actual letters themselves. Now there are certain combinations of the letters, which all this is the wisdom that created the world. It's all brought in the Sefer Yetzirah, and that there's a combination which is also somewhat common to be known, which is called Atbash. And the idea of Atbash is that we take the first letter and the last letter, the Aleph and the Tav, and it continues. Bash is the second letter with the second to the last letter. Then Gimel, Resh, you take the first, and you're starting from the front and the back and working together. So what's the wisdom of Atbash? So Oisi Tav Esavaloi, that the Aleph is me, Oisi, me he abominated. So Esavaloi, the Sof of Esava, I should desire him. In other words, and these are all the following statements have the same concept of like, really, is that what I should do? He's abominating me, Hashem is saying, I should desire him. Bash, biloy choshak, the Bey's, he didn't covet me, he's not desiring me. Shmi yochalav, should I rest my name on him? That's the shin. Gar is gufay time, he defiled his body. Arachim alav, the resh, I should have mercy on him. And dak, dal soysinol, my doors he's closed, no one's going into my bismedj. Should I not chop down his pride, his horns? The horn is always a reference to the pride, that Moshe's horns were always this glory that he had. So the Gemara says, Ad kan midas Risham, up until now was an exposition how it would be darshan regarding Risham of Atbash and in Gar Dak. Aval mid tzaddikim, but regarding the measurement of the righteous, the way the manifestation of Atbash is as follows. Im Ata Boish, the At is you, Boish, that you're embarrassed. In other words, you're embarrassed from sinning. Then gar dak. If you do this, that you're not going to sin, then gur badak, you're going to dwell in the heavens. That is, your soul will be bound under the kisei hakavod in the duk hashemayim. And that's the reference of atbash gar dak. And it continues, hatz vav. Again, the fifth letter from the beginning and the fifth letter from the end is hatz and vav, which is chatzitza have beinoch la'av, that there will be a barrier between you and wrath. And hatz is hey and ches are many times interchangeable, and therefore it's going to be chatz, chatzitza, and the vav is also similar in pronunciation to the aleph, and it also aleph has a vav with 2 yods, and therefore that's a reference to aft, that's going to be a barrier between you and wrath. Again, this is the reward for the righteous, and it continues, zah chas tan, ve'ein atem mizdazeya min ha-satan, that you're not going to tremble from the satan, from the prosecuting angel. That's Zayin Ayin is from his Dazeah, from trembling. Ches, again, the He is switching with the Ches, and Sin many times changes with the Samach because they sound the same. So that's Hasatan, the Tes and the Nun is those two, Ches and Samach, and Tes and Nun. That's you're not going to tremble from the sun. However, the conversation continues. Yam Kol, which is Amr Sar Shel Gehenna of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The master of Gehenna, of the purgatory, says in front of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shalom, Le'yam Kol, all of them you should send into the sea. And the idea is that because Gehenna is called Yam Kol, because everybody goes there. So the master of Gehenna says, send them all to me, to the Yam. Put the whole world here, even Klal Yisrael. They all deserve to go into Gehenna. Am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Achas Bata Gif. Now we just moved on to a new, different combination of many Kabbalistic ideas are always in different combinations of words, as many times in the Siddurim or the Machzerim they bring down to show the different combinations of the letters. So now we moved on to a different type, similar to Atbash, but here it's a combination of seven, it's seven spaces, there's three letters together, spaced by seven spaces, which is the first letter, the eighth letter, and the 15th letter. Then there goes the second, and the ninth, and the 16th. That's three letters together, spaced by seven letters. So that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu responds with the next combinations of Achas Bata Gif, which is Ani Chas Aleihem. I have pity on them. That's the Achas. Again, one, and seven letter is the Ches, and seven letter is the Samach. I have pity on them. Why is that? That's Bata Mimni Shebatu, because they rejected. And next one is Gif Begif, which is a reference to Niuf, to immorality. That's why I have Rechmanis in them, because they keep the purity, the sanctity of Yiddishkeit. Dachatz, and this is an acronym for the letters of Dakim and Kanim and Tzadikim, which is a reference. Dakim him, they're clean. Kanim him, they're upright. Tzadikim him, they're righteous. I'm not going, and therefore, Helek, which is the next combination, you do not have a portion of them. You're not getting any of the Jews. They're not going to Gehenna. They don't belong by you. But then Umarzan Shas, which here again you have the Vav, Mem, Reish, Zayin, Nun, Shin, Samach. You have, again, these are the seven spaces, Vav, Mem, Reish, Zayin, Nun, Shin, and the Saf, which comes together with that. Amar Gehenna Lefana, but then Gehenna responded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shalom, Mari, my master, Zaneni, feed me, Mizari Shal Shais, from the children of Shais, which includes both Jews and non-Jews. They all came from Shais, which was after the Mabul, and that's the Vav Mem Reish Go Umari, and the Zayin and the Nun is feed me, and the Shin Sof is Shais from the children of Shais. So Malois HaKadosh Baruch responded him with a different cheshbon. Now it's only two letters, but it's every 11 letters. So you have the first and the 12th letter, then you have the second and the 13th. So Hashem responded to him like this: Al Bam Gan Das, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you're not getting any of the Jews. And he said as follows, Leheichen Oilichem, where am I going to send them? That's Oilichem is Aleph Lamed, and the Beis Mem, Beis and Chaf are interchangeable, they look similar. So Chaf Mem is Beis Mem, Oilichem, where am I sending them? Legan Hadas, to the Garden of the Myrtles, that's Gimel Nun, Dal Tzamach, which is a reference to Gan Eden. You're not getting them. And then Havaf, but Amr Gehenna Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gehenna responded again with the same dialogue, with the same combination of the different letters. Ribbono Shel Olam, Oyef Onoichi, I am feeling faint. That means I feel faint from the hunger. That's the Hey is for Hinani, and Allah, the Ayin Vav and the Fe is the Vav is related to the Yud. They're very similar, just the Vav is a little longer. I am faint. I'm hungry. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to him, Zatzchak. Doesn't make a difference. Halolu Zari Shel Yitzchak. The Zayin Zari. These are the children of Yitzchak, is the Tzadi Chav Kof, and therefore I'm not giving them to you. However, Tar Yash Chav, which was Tar Wait, Yeshli, that I have, that's the Yesh, Kitois Kitois Shel Oivet Kechav M'shan Nois Lach. I have groups and groups of idol worshippers. That I'll give you. I have enough of you. That's Tar Wait. Yes, I have cut the groups. I have, you're hungry. I will feed you. I created the world. Gehenna gets its portion also. All the idol worshippers are going to you, but the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, if you're not getting, they are going to Gan Eden. Continue on to Amud Beis, where the Gemara continues with the Malacha of Kaisiv, of writing on Shabbos. Hakaisir Shteyasi is Behelim Echad Chayiv. Someone that writes two letters and one lapse of awareness, then he's liable, as the minimum requirement for the Melach of Ksiva is two letters, and has to be done in one lapse of awareness to be considered one Maisa to be Chayiv Achatas in it. Kasav Bidyoy, either if he writes with ink, Bisam with paint, Bisikr with red pigment, Bekaimais with gum, Ubekankantam with copper sulfate, Ubechol Dabashu Raishim, or anything that makes a mark. It doesn't make a difference. All these things you're going to be liable for writing on Shabbos. Al Shnei Koisli Zavius, for the two walls that are by the corner, that is, one is by the east and one is by the north, and they're near each other, they're right by the corner. You write one letter on one corner and one on the other corner. Val Shnei Levachi Finchas, and Pinkas, and on two tablets of a ledger, that is the tablets that, for example, by the merchants they used to have, that they had many tablets and they would attach them and they would cover it with wax. The Heinegim Zemze, and they could be read one with the other. And that's the Chiddush that was saying, that even though they weren't written on the same tablet, but since they could be read one with the other, and you wrote one on the edge of one and one on the beginning of the other, then Chayv are going to be liable. That's considered writing two letters together, and therefore you're liable because they are together in spite of the fact that they're on two separate walls or two separate tablets of the ledger. HaKaisav al-Bissari Chayv, someone that writes on his flesh, that is, he writes with ink, he's going to be liable. Hamisarat al-basar, but someone scratches on his flesh, that is, either use a stylus, a type of a thing that carves into something as writing or with lime. Then Rebbe Lezer mechayev chatzos v'chom poydim. Rebbe Lezer holds your chayev because you are writing. Chom said your poydim is not the way that you usually write. Kosev b'mashkin, if he writes with liquids, that is, for example, mulberry juice, something that has a blackening effect, or b'mei peres, or with fruit juices, this is from all the fruits, bavak drachim, with dust from the roads, and Rashi has two pshatim, either it means with mud that you could write with, or it means that he takes his finger and he carves out a letter in the dry dust that's on the road, or bavak ha-seifrim, with the scribe's dust, which it's a reference to the residue that's in the bottom of the scribe's inkwell, or anything that doesn't last, that's not considered writing, that's not a full-fledged writing to be chayav on Shabbos. Other exemptions are, La'achayad, if he does it backhandedly, that is, he holds the pen with the back of his hand, his fingers through there, and he's writing with the back of his hand. Oberagli, with his foot, Bipib, with his mouth, Bimafreke, with his elbow, Kosav Ois Achas Samach L'Chsav, or if he writes one letter near another letter, that was the letter that was already written, and then he matches up another letter to the one that was already written up to make the second letter. Or B'Chsav Agav B'Chsav, he writes on top of something that was already written, that is, he takes the pen and he goes over the old letters to renew them. Or Niskav Anichtav Ches, B'Chasav Bei Zayin, he intended to write a Ches, but he ended up writing two Zayins. That is, the pen jumped when it was in the middle of writing, and now you don't see the roof of the Ches, you only have like the 2 feet, and the space in between you have, because it jumped, that looks like two Zayins now. Or you wrote Achas Ba'aretz and Achas B'Kairi, you wrote one letter on the ground and one on a beam. Or Kosav al-Beis Kois Le'abayis, or you write on two walls of the house which are not in the corners. Al-Shnei Dapei Pinkas, or on two columns of the ledger. That is, the ledgers were made with columns like a scroll, like a Megillah. And he wrote one letter on one column, one the other one. They don't come near each other unless we would cut off the part that was in between them. And the same thing applies to the walls of the house. We're just saying, loizu avzu, in other words, not only by a house, but even by the case of the ledger. The ein negim zem zeh, but the idea is that they're not read with the other part, you're going to be exempt. Now the Mishnah continues, kosav ois achas nutrikin, if you write one letter as an abbreviation, that is, you write a letter with like an apostrophe at the end, that you should understand that this is a complete word. Like many people, when they write Hashem's name, they write a hey with a line. So you're writing only one letter, but you're showing that it's an abbreviation for a larger name. So there, Rabbi Shuv ben Meir Mechayev holds you liable because you're writing a word in spite of the fact that it's one letter. But Chum Poitin, they are exempt. No, ultimately, you're only writing one letter. So now the Gemara explains the inks that we said. It doesn't make a difference what type of ink that you're going to be chayev on. The Gemara explains what these inks are. Diyoi is a reference to diyusa, to black ink. Sam is a reference to Sama, which is called, Rashi says, opermint, which is a type of a yellow arsenic. Sikra, red pigment. Amarabba Barachona, Sikrasa Shemei. Its name is Sikrasa, which is called Iminya. It's a type of a red dye that they used to dye their shutters with. Koimais, Kuma, that's gum Arabic. Kankantim, Amarabba Barachona, Mishmul, Charta de Ushkefi. That's a reference to the shoemaker's blackening. All these types are considered ink that if a person would write with, is going to make him liable for the Melach of Ksivan Shabbos. So now the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah. It says that anything that makes a marking, are all included in the Malach of Ksiva. So Gemara says, Lasu Yimai, what's that coming to include? You already said of many different types of inks. What are you adding with making the general rule? Lasu Yehodetani, Reb Chananya comes to include this. Reb Chananya had taught us that Kasvei, if someone writes a get, been made tarya with rainwater, vafatza, and or with gulnut juice, kosher, it's kosher, and we're including those things. They're also considered ink to be chayav for the isra of writing on Shabbos. Tan Reb Chiya learned, kasvu ba'avir, if he writes it with lead, and that is if you take the lead and you darken and you scrub it, scrape it on the parchment, it's going to come out as we know we use lead many times in pencils. B'shachar u'b'shichar, you use charcoal or with shoemaker's blackening, kosher, all these things are considered viable options for writing, and they're considered kosher for a get, or to be chayav for the issur of Shabbos, those are also considered valid inks. So the Mishnah said, Hamisarid al-Basar, someone that scrapes, he scratches on his flesh. So there we had a machlekes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham, if it's going to be chayav or not. So the Gemara elaborates with a braisa. Tanya, we learn the braisa, Amalan Rabbi Elazar l'Chacham. What are you saying that you're not chayiv? It's not considered writing when he scratches in his flesh a letter. Ben Setada, he was able to export spells from Egypt by scratching the spells on his flesh. And that is, we see that obviously that is a way of writing. And that in Egypt, they didn't let them take out the writings because the Khartoumim, the people that were the sorcerers, they would check everyone that was going out. They shouldn't be taking out spells to teach to other people. They wanted a monopoly on the spells. So how did he get it out? He wrote it on his flesh, and they saw that he had nothing, and they didn't realize that it was on his flesh itself. So you see that it is a way of writing, so you should be chayiv for writing like that on Shabbos. So Amaloy, the Chum said to Rabbi Elazar, Shoytahoya. He was deranged. He was crazy. It was a maisa shtus that he had to do something that regular people don't do, and he was willing to give up his life for this situation. We do not bring proof from someone that's deranged from the fact that he did that is not a proof. That's still not the way that people usually do it, and therefore you're not going to be liable if you scratch the letters in your flesh. So the Mishnah said, Kosav ois achas samach lichsav. If you write one letter alongside another one that was already written, you're going to be potter, because although now you have two letters, but you only wrote one letter. So the Gemara says, Matan, who's the town of a Mishnah that says this? Amar Rav Barav Huna, Deloy Reb Elazar. What we could say, obviously, is that's definitely not Reb Elazar. The Reb Elazar, Ha'amar, Achas Ala Arik Chayv, because if it would be Reb Elazar, he said that if you add one thread on the ones that already were woven, that you already had woven a little bit, you're going to be liable because you just added more to the garment. And even though it's one, so definitely he's going to say that if you had one letter written, you added another one, now there's two, that you would be Chayv. So our Mishnah that says your potter is obviously not Reb Elazar. So the Mishnah continued and said, Ksav al gabi ksav, if you write on top of the writing, that is, you rewrite it on top of it, you're going to be exempt. So the Gemara said, Matan, who's the town of a Mishnah? So some of the Gemara says, Aram Chizda, Deloy Rabbi Yehuda. One thing I can tell you, it's definitely not Rabbi Yehuda. The time, because we learned in the Braisa, Harisha Yitzarach Lichta Ves Hashem. If someone had to write Hashem's name in the Sefer Torah, that's the Yud, then the Hey, and then the Vav, and then the Hey. V'neskaven Lichta Yehuda, but he intended to write Yehuda. He forgot it, he didn't realize, and he wanted to write the name Yehuda. But V'tov Lahitl Boydalas, as he was writing Yehuda, he made a mistake, and he didn't put the Dalet. So it comes out that the name was written as it was supposed to be, but without intent, because he intended to write Yehuda, but by mistake he wrote the Shem Havai, Yudke Vavke. So what does he do now? He has the name of Hashem there, as it's supposed to be, but it wasn't done with intent, as it's supposed to be. Mamar lav kulmis u'mekatsha divrei Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, what you do is you go over the pen over it, and thereby sanctifying it. That is, when you write it the second time, you have in mind to write the name of Hashem on every letter that you're writing, and that's as if you wrote it. The Chacham say, no, this is not the preferred way of writing the Shem Hashem, and that's not going to be good. So obviously the town of a mission that says that you're going to be exempt, it's not considered a valid writing, rewriting words. It's obviously not like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it is valid, and you could rewrite the Shem Havaya, the name of Hashem, by writing over the letters again. So Tanya, we learn the Braisa related to this Malacha of Ksiva, of writing. Kosav ois achas v'shlima l'sefer. If you wrote only one letter, which generally would not be mechayev, you have to have two letters. But thereby completing the Sefer, if you wrote the last letter of one of the 24 books of Tanakh, so then, or orek chut echad v'shlima l'beket, you wove one thread, and thereby you completed the garment, chayev, you're liable. Even though you only did one thread, all one letter. So the Gemara says, Matan, who's the town of this price? So Amarava Barav Huna, Rebbe Lezi. It's obviously Rebbe Lezi. Dama Achasala Archai. He said that if you had part of the garment ready and you added just one, if you had one letter before you add another one, that you're going to be chayiv. He's obviously the town of that price. It says by adding one letter, you're going to be chayiv. You could even say it's Rabban. But you only wrote one letter, you only put in one thread. The reason is Lahashlam Shani. Because to complete something that's different, that is considered significant. Generally, writing one letter is not significant. For the Malachas of Shabbos, you have to do something of Chashivas of significance. Here, this one letter has significance due to the context that it's finishing the Sefer or that it's finishing the garment. And therefore, even according to Rabban, they would agree that you'd be chai for that one letter. Omer Bami. Bami says the following statement. You write one letter in Tiveria, and then you walked all the way to Tzipori on Shabbos, you're going to be liable. You wrote two letters. It's a writing, you wrote two letters, but it's just, they're not near each other. So they, but you wrote two letters. But then the Gemara asks, but now we learned in the Mishnah, if you write in two walls of the house, or on two tablets of the ledger, not near each other, two different columns, they can't be read one with the other. Their parts are going to be examined. So how over here you can say, well, one is Tiferia, one is Tzipori, totally not near each other, that you're going to be chayiv. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. It is, both statements are true, because hasam mechusar ma'isa dekreiv. There you're lacking an action that would require it to get near each other. And that is, you can't bring the two letters of the, that are on the ledger or on the wall, unless if you cut the wall or you cut the parts of the ledger to bring them together. And therefore, we don't see them as connected in any form or fashion because it's still missing a ma'isa. And therefore, we say, yipater. Here you're not missing an action to bring them together. That is, when Rav Ami said the statement that you write one, I would talk about you writing one on the end of one tablet that's in Tveria, and you wrote another one on the beginning of another tablet in Tzipori, therefore you could bring them together without an action. You just have to get them together. And therefore, that is something that you will be chayav for because ultimately they are considered connected. You just have to bring them together. So Gemara says, Tanu, we'll learn the Braisa. If you corrected one letter, you're liable. So the Gemara asks, how is that possible? If we said that for the malacha of writing itself, you're only liable if you write two letters. So correcting, where you didn't even write the whole letter, to just to correct one, you're chayiv, how is that possible? You need to have two letters. So Amar Rav Sheshes, Hachamai Eskinah, what are we talking about that when we said you correct one letter that you're chayiv? Is that we're talking about that you fixed it by you took away part of the roof of the ches, and now you're left with two zions, and that you needed it to be like that. So therefore, since you needed two zions, and by mistake it was attached, by taking away the roof of the ches, you fixed one letter, thereby making two letters of two zions, and that's why, since that's what you wanted, you're chayv, because you just now made two letters. So the Gemara says that Rav Amar, a different way you could resolve it is, kegoyin shenot lo letagei shel dalis v'asireish. It's talking about that you took away the crown of a dalet, thereby making it into a resh. And that is, although you just you corrected only one letter, and it's a very small part of it, still you're liable. And that is because through that you corrected the whole sefer. And there, because there's halacha that a person is not allowed to hold on to a sefer that wasn't corrected. And that's a pasuk in Iyov that says, Atishka Malacha Avla, you can't have something that's not correct in your house. And therefore, it's like writing one letter, thereby completing the sefer that before we said that even according to Rabban, you're going to be liable because you were mashlim with it. Here also, by correcting any one of the letters in the sefer Torah, thereby making it a kosher sefer Torah, that's considered chashiv, and you're going to be liable even according to Rabban, and even though it was one letter. So, Tana, we learned the Braisa, Niskaven lichtav ois achas. If someone intended to write one letter, we continue at the top of Kofayim et Aleph, va'olubi yadishtayim, and by mistake, he ended up writing two letters. That is similar to the case that we're talking about, as he intended to make a ches, and he instead wrote two zayins. So you say, chayiv, you're going to be liable. But the question is, what nam potter? We learned in our Mishnah that if you intended to write a ches, and you wrote two zayins, that you're going to be potter. How could the Braisa say that you're chayiv? I think it might say, loy kasha. Ha, the case of our Mishnah that said you're going to be potter if you intended to write one ches, and you wrote two zayins, is the bayi ziyune. Is that you still have to make the zions, you have to make which are these small little crowns, which are look like small little zions on top of the letters. That is, the zions themselves need small little zions on them. And that is, as the Gemara Menachos and the Chavtes Amid Bey says, that you have to make one crown going towards, one little line going to the right, one going to the left, and one going straight up. And therefore, you're going to be potter because although you intended to make ches, you made the zions, you're not liable for the zions because they're not complete letters yet until you have the crowns. But the Braisa that says Yechayev, if you intended to make a ches, you made a zayin, is that they had their crowns there, and that's why Yechayev, although you intended to make a ches, you made two letters, and that's b'shagig, and that's why you're going to be chayev, and it's not contradiction with the case of a mission that says that you're going to be potter.